Oh, did you hear my sound effect?
Yeah, that was like really, that's what I was going to say. This should be your ringtone.
Your ringtone. Hey, babies. Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. You guys, I'm so excited to have Sandra Lee, Dr. Hello. Pimple Popper.
Yes.
My podcast. And not only do I know her from television and social media, but I also know her personally. Right. She's one of the sweetest individuals I've ever met. Intelligent. She's a mama.
Same with you. It's like we're describing each other. Aww, that's really nice. Thank you.
That's the biggest honor. And I will tell you, I've had patients come in that like are crazy about you, obsessed.
Yes.
And I will tell you, my patient is a big fan of yours and she's 9 and you'll send her a video saying hello. Now, I'm not saying she will do that for every single person. So stand down, everybody, calm down. But I'm just saying like that shows her heart that she has. You have like this amazing heart. I love it.
Well, I mean, you are like-minded. I would think that you would do the same thing. And it's those young kids that are just so special because it like doesn't take very much to make their day. And I've always remembered this, and this is something that I keep in mind that I've realized through my life is that sometimes when you're young, there's probably some comments that people have said to you that stick with you, mm-hmm. and you remember them, and that you can bring back the pain or the exhilaration or whatever it may be that they've said that it that you felt back then. And you might, when you're an adult, bring that up to them sometime and they'll be like, I don't remember ever even saying that. Mm-hmm. And so like I think it's really important to remember that sometimes the things that you say may mean very little to you or have little impact on your life, but can have a huge impact on somebody else. And so I just try to do that, especially for these young people that have, you know, that are so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And we know that in dermatology. Yes. We have to be very careful on the things that we say mm-hmm. for our patients and on social media, because I think that you can say something that can really hurt people more than you realize. And so you just have to be very careful in that sense.
Very careful. Sometimes, you know what, I do more beauty stuff and people will come in and say, well, what do you think? Just tell me what you think I should do.
Yes.
I always have to say, well, what bothers you? I want you to tell me.
That's exactly what I do.
Really? I'm not going to stand here and pick you apart and say, oh, you need this, 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 and this. I would rather you tell me what's concerning to you. Otherwise, you might have a destroyed person walk out.
No, that's exactly what I say. And I've said this multiple times to, you know, as advice for people that are, you know, trying to maybe even do this, you know, be in this beauty business. I think that that is a bad thing to do, to have... You know, I've had patients who said that I went to see this doctor and they said, oh, you could really use a boob job or you could really use your eyes done. And then what if that person thinks that that's like their best feature and then you just crush them and you didn't even know that and you can't do that to people. So that's like the question I hate the most. When somebody said, just look at me and tell me what you think that I need to have done. I say,
I think
it's much better if you tell me the things that you may not like and I can tell you things that we may be able to do or somebody might be able to do to improve upon it if you wish. You know,
that's what
happened
to me.
But I would never. Yeah.
I went to see about a facelift, you guys. And
somebody said something like
that? Oh, yeah.
They said you could do this and this.
But also we need a pinch lift of your eyelids, upper and lower. We'll do a brow lift. We'll also do a lip lift. I was like, oh my God.
Do you think they were just upselling though too? Like it's just like a big, like that's not good.
I don't know, but I felt horrible.
Yeah, right?
It really did feel horrible. Like, okay, we're going to change every single thing about my face. And...
Yeah. Oh, first of all, you're gorgeous and you are, and you're the sweetest, kindest, most, you know what I mean? You're the sweetest person. And so for that to happen to you too, of all people, like, you know what I mean? That just is, It's a good lesson to learn, you know, for us and for anyone out there who wants to go into the same kind of business or, you know, in the beauty business at all.
Right.
I think it's really important to keep that
careful.
In mind.
So you're giving these young impressionable people inspiration and praise and you give them so much like encouragement and they say, oh, I want to be a dermatologist just like you when I grow up. And then you tell them, of course you can do it. You know,
yes,
I love that. I love that about you.
I mean, I think, I don't know. What's also interesting is I feel like I'm female, you're female. Like, I mean, like I'm Asian. I never really felt that anything has held me back, like just because of my sex or my ethnicity or anything. Mm-hmm. I just feel like you're a person. You should be able to do whatever you want. And that's what I want to impart to people too, that it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what, you know, you should be able to, if you keep your, you know, if you put your mind to it, you should be able to achieve it.
So. I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've gone through life thinking of myself as equal to everyone, mm-hmm. and I never really had
felt
an issue.
Like you thought I had to work harder because maybe, you know, I mean, I think that there is certainly are parts of the world of times that may have happened.
Right.
It's almost like I felt like I didn't realize it. Like maybe people were judging me because of that, but I didn't really consider that or think of that and then feel like I'm going to give up because I should or I shouldn't even try because of that. Like it didn't hold me back, you know, I guess. That's
what
I
should say. That's a gift to us. You know, they say like if you think, you know, if you know who you are and you feel pretty good about yourself, mm-hmm. anybody can insult you in any way and you won't even register it. Yeah. Like you may not even, it might go straight over your head. So that's maybe there were people trying to hold me back or something, but I've never registered that. Like, and I've never really looked for it. So I just go.
Right.
And I'm always going and people ask me like, when are you good? And I want to ask you, like, you've got all these amazing things going for you. And then, you know, sometimes the question like, okay, like when are you gonna chill? Like when are you done? When's it enough? And I go, it's not that it's not enough. I'm very happy doing these things. Like this makes me happy. I'm not doing it because I'm chasing happiness. Right, I feel happy already.
Right.
So it's hard for me to explain to people who look at it as I'm scrambling towards something.
I think what it is that you don't really have a goal in mind. There's not like a thing that you're trying to do, like to achieve, like be the president or something, or you know what I mean? There's not like a concrete goal. It's that it's your personality. It's sort of like your drive. Like if I wasn't busy doing this, I would be bedazzling all my shoes or something. Like I'm like a busy person. Yes. Like I like to do things mm-hmm. and that's my thing. And so for you, you enjoy what you're doing. And I think that's what made my social media successful and what makes yours successful is because you enjoy doing it. And so that's part of it. And it comes out too. And you know what
it shows, right?
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. It's like, it's not like it is still work, but it's not work in the sense that that's what you gravitate towards. And why not do something that also furthers your, you know, your profession and your specialty and you know, your business and what you do.
I mean, it is so lovely to connect with people too, people either through DMs or just mm-hmm. with their comments. I love to hear the reaction that people have about the different things that you post. And I'm sure on yours, you've got some amazing reactions.
Yes, we
do. This is Dr. Pimple Popper and her Instagram and social media. And what YouTube is full of amazing cysts and lipomas.
Right. And they, but that, you know, that I was not actually a popaholic. Like I'm not somebody who I never like loved. No, I was not a person who like, you know, when you have patients that have blackheads, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I've got to get that. I would just tell them.
I'm surprised.
You know, yeah. I did it. It wasn't until I joke and I say I'm a born again popaholic because I'm like a person that realizes now like what kind of wonderful emotions it brings to how happy it makes people and how much people love it, that to the extent that it now gets me excited or I get into it because I know how much people are going to enjoy it or how, you know, like that whole thing with social media, I know how it might potentially go viral or, you know, things like that, that make it very exciting. So
I mean, it's like more like almost like a, like satisfaction, right? It's, it's like, ooh, gross. You can't.
Are you a popaholic? Do you think somewhat? Like,
I think I'm.
You've learned to do it. Dude. Maybe you're born again. Maybe I'm pulling you into my born again status.
Yeah, I'm a born again.
Yes.
I realize there must be something about it, like in the human.
There is. Yeah. I don't know what it, you know. So many people say that they watch my videos. I've had people say that they were in the ER, they had to go in the ER and they had to wait in this line. They were so anxious that they had to watch my videos to relax. Or nurses or firemen after like a hectic, stressful day, they will come home and watch my videos to relax. And so it's like it decreases their anxiety. It makes them, it's like their bedtime story, which I find fascinating, but also just weird in a sense, not like weird like someone's a weirdo, but like that I don't, I understand it, but it's also, it's very interesting to me that it gives those people, it's like taking a Xanax or something to them, you know,
it
like
them it's making them feel good. Feeling that it's like an arc of a story. You start out and then there's like this thing and then what's it going to do? What's going to come out? You don't know. Right. How's it going to come out? Yes. What's it going to do? And then it comes out and then you're like,
it's exactly like that. Yes.
It's a whole story arc in like a few seconds. Right. Uh-huh. So people get that satisfaction.
It's really weird. It's a really weird thing. It's weird, but I don't know where it came from. But like, you know, I think the key was for social media at that time is just that I recognized that there was something there. And I really went all in. Like I just started posting and, you know, see and learning. And I think that I was just like kind of right place at the right time and just, you know, had some things somewhat lined up so that I could just like line all those planets up in a row or all those stars in a row and then let it like happen, you know. I don't know.
Just so what happens with your practice? Did you end up having a lot of people because of that be cysts and lipoma patients?
Yes. I have popping clinics, I suppose you could call them. Uh-huh. I mean, my practice has definitely changed in terms of the makeup and the patients population. And, you know, I've always been, so as people may know, like there are specialties within dermatology, which is very interesting. I'm sure you've probably even spoken about that before. And you are a cosmetic and surgical dermatologist, right? And then there's also medical dermatologists or pediatric dermatologists or your dermatopathology. There's just so many different kind of categories within it. And we have some crossover. I am also a cosmetic dermatologist, but I'm even more lean on surgical. Uh-huh. And so that allowed me to sort of do these kinds of things, these sort of pimple popping things. So, you know, initially just was blackheads when I first saw that this was a thing. But then I started to think, well, what else could you pop out of the skin? And so that really kind of opened this little world up to me. Being a surgical dermatologist, being able to do those sorts of things and, you know, feeling comfortable doing that.
I love it. You know, I was thinking this morning and we start out very broad, deciding what we're going to do in life, right? Mm-hmm. And then we do pre-med and then we learn all these different things and we go into medical school and then we go to dermatology residency. We learn pathology, right? We learn blistering disorders. We learn cutaneous lymphomas. Mm-hmm. We learn all this stuff. And then again, we narrow down into something within our specialty of derm, which is already a subspecialty. Like, you know, it's a specialty. And then some of us subspecialize.
A small specialty too. Yes.
Right. And there aren't that many, right? Mm-hmm. Overall.
But it's a whole nother language. It is a very complicated.
It's complicated. Very competitive to get into dermatology. Yes. Yeah,
it is. It's really, I'm sure you feel the same way. I feel very lucky to be in this specialty. It's such an amazing one. And I also think that's a good advice to give to a lot of these newly minted, just out of residency dermatologists. I feel like some of them already feel the need to figure out what they want to do within dermatology, but it's like a road that you travel. You don't really know until, you know, you have an idea maybe what your things are that you're good at or you really like doing, but you never know where it takes you. I mean, I certainly didn't know it was going to take me to pimple popping. So you never really know like what you're where your talents really are until you start working and then you realize that this kind of thing you like, you really like doing filler, or you really like those kinds of patients, or you really, you know, you really like just different things about it.
Or you're good at it. You get that feedback and then you start deepening your knowledge about that and you just go into that part. But what we trained for was so much. And then I sometimes think about how things have sort of become narrowed down, you know, but
It definitely things change and you wouldn't have thought necessarily you'd be doing the things that you're doing now when you were in residency. And so it's just a really, it's fun and exciting, but don't get too stressed out. I just want to say to those residents that they have to decide. I mean, it's a long road, an interesting road that is. And so you've got to figure out where it goes.
You know, people are constantly asking me things. Might be in any stage. They might be high school. They might be college, whatever, asking me, you know, for advice. And I want them to know, like you're saying, that
you're not going to be pigeonholed because it's almost like a bottleneck. You go in, you do all that work. There's a bottleneck where you become a dermatologist and the whole world opens up again.
That's a good way to describe it. Right.
You can do academics. You can do private practice. You can do beauty. Right. You can be a TV personality. Mm-hmm. There's like a million things you could do once you're finished with that. So especially if someone's going through something like organic, or, you know, they're just really suffering. And I think, you know, you're not going to do organic for a living. You're going to get through this because it proves that you want this that badly. Yes. And you're going to learn analytical skills. And then.
And honestly, I also feel like me, like if you had said that you were going to be on TV, like that's almost like a different direction. Like you don't know where the world takes you. And I think I really learned that from my patients, first of all. You know, you'll have these patients. One of the questions I used to love to ask them when I did more medical derm in the beginning, I did a lot of skin cancer, you know, surgeries and medical. So I see a lot of older patients. And one of the icebreaker questions I used to ask them, or I still ask them, is if you were to look back in your life, what was like your favorite year to be alive? Like how old were you when you like look back really fondly? And you get a lot, I get like a lot of different answers. Sometimes they're cute too. Like they'd be like, tomorrow is my favorite day or something like that.
If I make it there.
Right. But I mean, sometimes you learn about patients though, and you learn about how they're, where they are now or what different things they did in their life. So different, you know, they had different jobs and totally, and you realize that life is long and there's so many different directions you may be pulled in. And I worry sometimes about these young people that are so stressed out about, they want to have everything lined up at like 14, 15, 16 years old. And I'm like, you don't, okay, I get it. I love the drive you have, but don't feel like you, this is all or nothing. And then if you don't get something, like life is over. Like this is the road that you go. You never know where it's going to take you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And we're always evolving.
Yes.
And it's the same. Like you said, no, you would have never known you would be Sandra Lee Pimple Popper. You would win awards. You would be famous. Like you didn't know that, but it just sort of,
it happened.
The path shows up ahead of you.
It happens. It's not like you sit back and wait for it either.
No.
You definitely have to work.
You have to see the opportunity. You have to go, you guys. You can't just sit there and be like, oh, it's all going to just come to me. So, yeah, I mean, it's true that you can't get anything done without doing a lot of work. But if you're super excited about what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work a lot of the time. So, and you're willing to do the work just to get you past the work so you can do the thing you love to do.
Like,
I love doing injections. I love doing cosmetic. I love making people feel beautiful and all that. But there's a lot of like paperwork and there's a lot of administrative and HR and things you have to do and regulations to follow to be who you are professionally so you can do the things you love. So I think that the other flip side of our kids being so driven these days is the other side of it is everything should be something I enjoy or I should do what I love. And you may not love what you do in the state of becoming. You may have to keep that vision in your eyes and in your mind's eye, and you may not love every minute of your becoming.
No, you don't love every minute of it. You don't. We know. We already will tell you that. You don't love every minute of it. It's hard. It's still work. Work is work. I always say that, like, that's why they call it working out too, and work, it's because it's work. It's like, you know, you're still, like that whole, I mean, I know that quote and I get it too. Like if you work at whatever it is, like if you love your work, you're not really working any day of your life, but it is still work. And there's still stuff with it involved that takes some effort and is not quite that fun. You can't just step in and every day is like a vacation.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
unless you're my best friend over there who every day is a vacation to her. No, because I love her.
Look at her. She's like, I saw that finger. But
yes, probably.
But then, you know, I know there are people in life who really are not that hard on themselves and things just happen to work out. Have you met those people? I've got some in my life.
It seems like their life is just blessed and so easy.
Everything just falls into their lap and people take care of them and they don't feel
But I mean, do you think that life is that great though? Like,
I can't handle that type of uncertainty, but like, I realize.
Because you depend on other people and you depend on a lot
on
of other things. Right.
Yeah.
I agree. But,
so do you think you're a workaholic? I'm assuming yes.
I don't know. I'm not really a workaholic.
Yeah.
Bestie says yes.
Yes, I'm probably, she saw me already, like, on the way out here. I'm like, wait, you can't talk to me for the first half an hour because I'm like, just got to get this email out. Like, I felt so bad for her because she came out for me. This is like the time that we get to spend with each other. I will tell you the most important thing she does for me, first of all. First of all, I should give you a background and we should meet. I should post a picture about her because, well, because she is, and you probably have friends in your life like this too. They like ground you and they like, and her best advice is probably the quote that I should give you. Like, you know, that you have to save time for yourself because I probably don't do that as much as I should, you know? And I think you are better maybe at balancing, though you work very hard. I don't know. Maybe it looks like you do because I feel like I don't have, you know what I mean? I think it's very hard to balance your life when you sort of have that type A, triple A personality. Yeah. And because I also think when I'm not busy, I look for the work.
Yes.
Or else I get super lazy and I'm like lying in bed with potato chips all over me.
Like defunct.
And stuff, right? Like I'm like the opposite. And she's really, we come like from different worlds in a sense, but she we've been friends for so long and we've been close friends and other people have come and gone, but we've like stayed because I think we know each other really well and we trust each other and we trust each other's opinion. And I think that that's really important. And I should also say that I tend to really like people who are on the edge of being a liability. And that's what she is too.
She's talking about her best friend, Raquel, who is on the edge of being her liability.
Yeah, well, I am.
But I would say with my best friend, I'm the opposite.
Oh, really?
It's like, the opposite. My bestie is, we've been best friends since we were seven.
I want to hear about this, yes.
And she's more on the political side of the world and very, a lot more, she's going to listen to
opinionated.
This.
Opinionated. So. Well, this is good. You're still a love letter to her.
But yeah, yes. I love her. We've been best friends for too many years for me to even say how many years, but since we were seven. Aww. And so she knows me from, there's no pretenses. There's no anything. I mean, we're the kind of, we can just like tell each other whatever we think. Let her rip because no one's going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And there's really not that many people in your life that you can just like say everything you think and let them have it, and or they can tell you everything they think. In fact, she just yelled at me recently about my TikTok and how inappropriate it was. And you know,
oh, that's so funny. Yes, I know. I love that because she would do that. I you know what? I tell her that all the time.
See, I told you it's the opposite. It's the opposite. See, and I'm gonna take it down. I'm like, F you.
Yeah.
And then I don't take it down, but at least, you know, I'm getting feedback from someone who wants to give me honest feedback.
Right. So. And this is why we're actually also very lucky because I wonder what percentage do you think of women actually have relationships like this? Because I think you can go through life and not have that. You know how we women can be very, like, especially when you're younger and you don't, like, high school and things, you're like, catty. It's more like a competition.
Yes.
And you pretend you're friends with you think you are, and then they dog you and they, like, you know, like, people do mean things to each other.
Yeah.
But there's, like, this point where you can break through and you have become, like it's when you realize that, like, I don't want, I mean, like, men are great, but like women have this special relationship. Like, I feel like there's like this special bond that you can have that is like different than like even male bonds in general. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, there's this different, like, kind of
girl
loving
power.
Yes, it is very much so. And I think you have that too. And I think, and you're lucky to have that. And I feel very lucky to have that. And I think that not all women have that, but it is a message to, I think, younger
young
women
girls,
that to know that you should try to break through. And there are people out there you can break through, and other women out there and men, really. It doesn't mean it's just women to women, but there are people that you can break through and you have this relationship that's extra special, that like you feel like you really
trust.
Care about each other and you trust each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really nice. So you have that.
It's that thing where you trust them and you know that even if you're busy, they're busy, that it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Or you're too busy for me. You call up, listen, B.
Yeah, exactly.
You haven't given me any attention lately. You could just yell at them, you know, and then that's like real. It's, you have a real friendship there.
Yes.
But
so how about you? How long have you been in practice here? And like, how did this start here with you? Like, you've always been in solo practice?
No,
kind of, like,
I worked for another dermatologist for two
and
a half years.
The one that I know, right? Like, yes. But that was working. But you never thought that that was going to possibly stay like that? Or did you always have a goal of doing your own thing?
At the time, like we were talking about earlier, I did not know. But I knew that I have a mentor and an idol. I'm going to ask you if you have a mentor. I'm sure you do. But Dr. K. She is a derm pathologist. Oh, yes. She owned her own practice.
Do I know her? What's her first name?
Valda.
No, I don't think I know her. No.
And she's retired now, but she, for many years, even though I was here, I sent my path to her. But bottom line is she was married to a urologist doctor. She was in great shape, very fashionable. She had three kids, all of them unbelievable. One went to Juilliard. The other one was a doctor. The other one. And she just has these amazing. I said, how are you doing everything? And how do you look like that? And how are you not just a pathologist, but a consulting pathologist? In other words, when everyone else has no idea what's going on, they send to her. And she's at all these meetings. And she has this unbelievable South African accent that just like. I just loved everything about her. And she also would take me under her wing and I would ask her questions. Nice. But anyway, bottom line is she lives.
Where is she? I want to meet this
Minnesota,
person. Minnesota,
where I did my residency. Okay, yes, you should meet her.
Yes.
Now she's in Florida. But she's probably going to listen to this too. But basically she lived down the street from her office and she said, Anna, in her accent, which I can't do, that this is the secret. You cannot spend a lot of time commuting. So I came here in Calabasas. Our house was in Calabasas.
That's interesting that you remember.
Because I was starting practice in Thousand Oaks, 14 miles away. My husband was 14 miles away the other direction. So we split the difference. And then when it was time to start my own, I decided I need my own. I wanted to be like 2 minutes from my house. So I wouldn't waste time while the kids were little being on the road. So that's how I chose this location. Right.
This is a great location, though. This is nice.
I love it.
Especially the rear entry access that you have.
I saw the rear entry sign on the building, and I was like, this is my place. I have arrived. You know how you, like, you just know?
Yes.
But I actually got a zone for medical. It wasn't a medical office building.
Oh, really?
We did a parking study. We did all this stuff.
That takes work.
Oh, my God. I didn't sleep for 2 years.
That's great. That's hard. That's a lot of hard work that you did to prepare.
It was.
So it's like it becomes well-deserved. And your place is beautiful. It's so bright and airy. And you have so much space. Mine is like – because I remember – and I remember like when I was – asking about my office space when I was a resident, like, how big do you think your office space should be? And I remember one of the doctors saying, you know, whatever you have, you're going to outgrow it in 5 years.
Yep.
And it's so true. Like, you have space to spread. I don't really have space to spread.
Well, we started out with one suite. We added a second one and we had a third one and now we're added a fourth one. So we've been slowly growing over the years. It's been 15 years I've been in
this. Social media space. Wow.
And this is our social media podcast brainstorming.
Yes. I need to do this. In my space, but I just don't know that. This is like the space of like at least 4 or 5, you know, patient rooms kind of thing in my office.
I mean, so we could be practical and make it into patient rooms.
Well, you might be. You always have that option.
Maybe one day.
That's fine. Yeah.
We have a little procedure room right behind us that's like for filming, like a big spacious room for.
That's your office. So it's beautiful now. Yes.
Right here. And then there's this
one.
I see.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
I'm excited though.
Yeah, that is exciting. Yeah. Super exciting.
So if anyone wants to work here that's a doctor. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, exactly.
I'm hiring.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Make sure you're subscribed to the Dr. Beauty Podcast to catch part 2 of our interview with Dr. Sandra Lee, Dr. Pimple Popper. See you next time.